imbecile.
And I think you're an imbecile.
And I say you're an imbecile.
Now, just a minute, boys. What's all the arguing
now,
about?
Now, you keep out of this, Niles. It's just between us imbeciles.
How do you expect to get along with people? How do you expect anyone to like you?
Oh, I'm a bad boy.
Well, you certainly are. Mrs. Niles will be here any second. And just watch what you say. Try to be decent for once.
Okay, Abbott.
Now, hey, quiet. Here she comes.
I heard that remark, Costello.
I didn't say anything, Mrs. Niles.
Now, that's right.
I didn't say anything.
Costello, isn't
going to be so nice.
Absolutely, Mrs. Niles. He's not going to insult you. He's going to be a good boy, aren't you, Lou?
Yes, Mr. Abbott.
See that?
Gee, Mrs. Niles, I sure am glad to see you. And by the by, can this be me talking? Did you ever collect the insurance for the accident you had?
Well, I didn't have an accident.
Don't tell me you were born with that face. No. What did I say?
All right, Abbott, I'm sorry. Go ahead, wash my mouth out with soap. I said a bad thing. I'm a cad. I'm even lower than a cad. I'm an old Chevrolet.
Oh, you know, Costello, I had a dream last night. I dreamed we were holding a contest to see which comedian had the most empty space in his head.
So?
Well, one comedian had 2 square inches of space, another had 5 square inches, and another had 10 square inches of empty space in his head.
I'll bet you didn't see my head there.
See it? That's where they were holding the contest.
Let me told him off that time, darling. Oh, you're so refreshing. You're my little grapefruit.
Oh, no, dear. You're my little grapefruit.
Oh, but you're my little grapefruit.
Oh, I insist, dear. You're my little grapefruit.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard from a couple of old squirts.
There you are. Now you've done it again, Costello. Now, the only way you can square things is to buy a farewell present or a gift for the entire cast.
Abbott, don't talk so loud. That's what you like to do.
I did that very thing this morning, Abbott. I bought farewell presents for everybody on the show. I got some dandy presents in a department store.
Why are you talking so low?
Quiet. I bought them in a basement.
Oh. Stop whispering, Costello. What kind of presents did you get?
I got a big box of candy for the boys in the band.
Yes.
And Connie Haynes and Mr. and Mrs. Niles and everybody. Just look at it,
Abbott.
Isn't it fine-looking candy?
For heaven's sakes. I've never seen such big pieces of candy. What are they?
Chocolate-covered bananas.
You dummy. I should have known better than to trust you to buy presents for the cast. Now we're in a fine pickle. Where are we going to buy anything at this late hour? Come in. Come in.
Hello, Rancho Grande. I always come in handy. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Look who it is, Costello. Our old friend Kitzel, the salesman.
Could be, yes. Well, how do you do, Mr. Costello? I haven't seen you in a long distance, please. You're just the man I'm looking at.
And you're just the guy I'm looking at, Kitzel. You know, you showed me an electric razor 2 weeks ago, and it's no good.
Oh, pish posh, no good.
No pish posh, it's no good.
Well, for your information, my little man, that was not an electric razor. That was a riveting machine.
A riveting machine?
Yes, yes.
No wonder every time I shave, it hammers my whiskers in, and I have to bite them off with my teeth.
Never mind that, Costello. Look, have you got anything to sell us today, Mr. Kitzel?
Have I got anything to sell?
Yes. Yeah.
Boogie boy, now you're talking my language, if that's possible. Why, I've got here,
He's lost.
No. Today I'm in the mansion business.
What was that?
Of course, I'm in the mansion business.
The mansion business?
Yes, anything you mention, I got it. I got a beautiful line of musical instruments. I got trombone, saxophone, a violin, a trumpet.
Wait a minute. Have you got a fife?
Yes, and a couple of keys.
No. Oh, you don't understand. A fife is a long, skinny thing.
Yes, yes. That's my fairy.
Oh, wait a minute, Kitzel.
Yes.
We don't want no musical instruments. What else have you got in your sample case? Wait a minute. Have you got a potato clock?
A potato clock?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't he talk a peculiar angle?
Yeah. Costello, don't be silly. What in heaven's name is a potato clock?
Well, you wind it up when you go to bed, and it gets you up potato clock.
What gets you up potato clock? No, I don't like her.
Oh, excuse me, my line. Come on, come, Kissel. Open that sample case and get out those presents.
Now, just a second. Stop yakking. Don't push me. What am I, a baby carrot?
Look, Mr. Kissel, yes. We have no time for foolishness. What have you got to sell us, Dr.?
What have I got to sell you? Yeah. Why, in this little satchel, I got gold rings, old rings, earrings, hair rings, cuff rings, stud rings, golf rings, and bobble rings, sports shoes, suede shoes, great shoes, and look at these clocks, socks, and smock. Not to mention check suits, swim suits, blue suits, ear suits, top coats, boy coats, overcoats, and any guns, sport guys, silk guys, home ties, a rail ties, shirt, shirts, assorted nuts, and a killer thank you.
Good news spreads fast, and it's good news that the Star Theater, featuring singer Gordon McRae, songstress Evelyn Knight, and Victor Young's orchestra, is on the air every Wednesday night over most of these same ABC stations. And what a combination of tip-top talent that means. A lilting 30 minutes of melody. Gordon McRae is a man who has a special way with a song, and he'll be singing the most popular songs of the day. Evelyn Knight, the last with a delicate air, also has a special way with a song, especially with a folk ballad. But that's not all. Victor Young's orchestra, the Jeff Alexander Chorus, are also on hand each Wednesday night to add to the entertainment. So for a gale of time, plan to join us when the Star Theater, featuring Gordon McRae, Evelyn Knight, Victor Young's orchestra, and the Jeff Alexander Chorus, is heard every Wednesday night. And that means tonight over most of these same ABC stations.
Hey,
suppose you walk into a baseball park. What teams are playing?
I don't know.
Then what are you doing in the baseball park?
You got me in there, now get me out.
All right. What is the first thing you buy when you enter a baseball park?
A hot dog.
A hot dog?
Without mustard.
Oh, no, mustard goes with a hot dog.
Not with mine.
Mustard goes with a hot dog.
I don't care what the mustard goes with, I'm not going to eat it. I don't like it. I mean, after all,
Wait a minute. Just a minute. I don't get excited. The mustard and the hot dog go together.
Let them go together. I don't want to spoil any romance.
Who's talking about a romance?
I mean, after all, if I don't like mustard, I don't have to eat it for you or anybody else.
All right.
What do you think you are, big man? If you come and eat mustard, I got to eat mustard.
Well, let's forget about it.
I got my license.
All right, we'll forget about it.
I'm not going to eat mustard for you or anybody
else. All right, so
you
don't have to eat it.
I mean, after all, mustard burns my tongue, and I'm not going to burn my tongue for you or nobody
else. All right,
else.
Don't eat it. Forget
it's
it.
A free country.
I know that.
If you want to eat mustard, you eat it.
All right.
You don't
don't shout.
There's no law, so you got
it. No, I know that.
Mustard makes me sick,
all right,
brother.
All right.
Who do you think you are to tell me I got to eat something that I don't want to eat?
Please,
I'm a married man. I got a wife and two children.
I understand that.
If I eat mustard, I get sick. I can't work. What happens to my kids?
Just a minute.
They wind up in the orphan asylum.
Hello.
You're a fine guy, sending my kids to an orphan asylum.
Take it easy. Don't get excited.
What have my kids ever done to you?
Nothing at all.
All right, you got to put them away in the orphan asylum.
Come on.
Get my kids out of the orphan
asylum. Now, wait a minute. What started all this nonsense?
Mustard.
Wait a minute. Just a minute. You just don't like mustard.
I like the Worcestershire Shire Sauce.
You like what?
Worcestershire Shire Sauce. You can't even say it.
Yeah, but you don't like mustard.
I love Worcestershire Shire Sauce.
Look, suppose you walk out on the bridge and you jump off.
I'm not jumping off any bridge.
And what are you doing on the bridge?
There's
two
things I don't like, and it's bridges and mustard. And if you want to burn me up, brother, all you got to do is stick me in the middle of a bridge with a handful of mustard.
Doc, wait a minute. Just a minute. You don't like mustard. Give me a reason. What are you, some big shot or something? Too big a guy to like mustard?
I don't care for that stuff. I'm not going to say that.
Do you know where mustard comes from?
Huh?
You know where mustard comes from?
I know they don't scrape it off a mustard plant.
No. They manufacture mustard. Do you know they spend millions of dollars every year to put up factories just to manufacture mustard?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know those factories employ thousands and thousands of men just to manufacture mustard?
Oh, yeah.
And you, just because you don't like mustard, what do you want them to do? Close those factories down and put all those people out of work?
Now, just don't
shout at me.
Do you mean to stand there and tell me that those thousands of people are making one little jar of mustard just for me?
No, wait, let me...
If they are, you can tell them not to make any more, because I'm not going to eat.
All right, well, let's figure out.
If I eat that little jar of mustard that those thousands of people are making for me in a mustard factory, what happens to the poor people working in a witch's house here, George?
Wait a minute. Just a minute. Let's close one factory at a time.
Take all the people I put out of work in a mustard factory and put them back to work on that bridge and build it up again.
Now, wait a minute. Look, answer one question, will you, please? Just one teeny-weeny
ask
question.
Ask me something with a little sense to it.
Will you answer it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, say you walk into a restaurant. You walk into a restaurant, and the waiter places on one side of the table a big, juicy steak. And one side, a platter of beans. Now, which one would you eat?
I eat the steak.
You could eat the steak. You know where that steak comes from?
A cow.
A cow.
I hope.
You hope. You know what that cow gives?
No.
That cow gives milk.
No, she don't. You gotta take it away from her.
There may be a housing shortage, but tonight, there may not be for some contestants on Go for the House. This is the exciting show heard every Wednesday night over most ABC stations, on which contestants can win a beautiful new honeymoon house built on a suburban lot right in their own hometown. Each Wednesday night, MC John Reed King calls seven couples to the ABC microphone. These couples each select a room of honeymoon house to furnish and are given seven questions to answer. As they answer each question correctly, a prize of some home furnishing goes into the house. After the third question, they can take their prizes or go for the house. But to win the house, they must answer the special seventh question. Listeners also have an opportunity to win honeymoon house. For complete details, don't miss Go for the House on the air tonight and every Wednesday night over most of these very same ABC stations. And now back to ABC's Abbott and Costello show.
Where are you going?
Well, as you know, I have a baseball team. By the way, Costello, why don't you come along and play on the team?
You mean it?
Sure, why not?
That's a good idea, Abbott, but I don't think I know any of the players. I mean, after all, you see, some of these guys on the team I'd like to know.
Well,
if I'm going to join your team, here we go.
Well, I'll introduce...
So, Abbott, what I'd like to know is this here.
I'll introduce the boys to you. Suppose it's that.
You tell me who's playing on your team.
You know, strange as it may seem, they give these ballplayers nowadays very peculiar names. You know, like Dizzy Dean and
Daffy
Dean.
I'm your cousin.
Who are you?
Goofy.
Goofy, eh?
Yep.
Well, now, let's see. We have on the bags. We have who's on first, what's on second. I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say who's on first, what's on second. I don't know who's on third.
Are you the fellow who knows all the players?
I certainly.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who is on first?
Now, what are you asking me for?
I'm telling you who is on first.
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who is on first?
Have you got a contract with the first baseman?
Absolutely.
Who signed the contract?
Well, naturally. It's no good unless he signed it.
It's no good unless who signs it?
No.
So who signed it?
Absolutely.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar. Why not? The man's entitled to it.
Who is?
Yes.
So who gets it?
Absolutely. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes.
All I'm trying to find out is, what's the guy's name on first base?
Oh, no, wait a minute. Don't switch him around. What is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. Now, we're not talking...
Now, how do I get on third base?
You mentioned his name.
If I mention the third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
Never mind first. I don't know. What's the guy's name on third?
No, what's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third.
Don't go off.
What is it, you?
Now, who's playing third base?
Now, why do you insist on putting who on third base?
Now, who am I putting over there?
Yes, but we don't want him there.
What's the guy's name belongs on third?
What belongs on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
You got an outfield?
Oh, yes, yes.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I don't know. I just thought I'd ask you.
I just thought I'd tell you.
All right, then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing?
Stay out of the infield.
What's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
Who's name?
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field.
He plays
as well as I do.
Look, you got a pitcher on a team?
Now, wouldn't this be a fine team without a pitcher?
A pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you, man.
Then go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now, listen, who is not pitching?
I'll break your arm, you say. Who's on first?
Go ahead.
I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base. Absolutely.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today. And tomorrow's pitching?
Now you've got it.
Oh, we got us a couple of days on the team.
I can't help that.
You know, I'm a catcher, too.
I know that.
I'll get you hired to play through some fancy catching. Tomorrow's pitching on my team, and the heavy hitter gets up.
Yes.
Tomorrow throws the ball, the guy puts the ball. When he puts the ball, me being a good catcher, I'll throw the guy out of first base. So I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
Is to throw the ball at first base.
Yes.
Now who's got it?
Naturally.
If I throw the ball at first base, somebody's got to catch it. Now, who caught it?
Naturally.
Who caught it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally.
Yes.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to Natural.
No. You throw the ball to first base, then who gets it?
Natural.
That's right. Now we're talking.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to Natural.
You don't.
I throw it to home.
Naturally.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not saying it that way.
I said I throw the ball to Naturally.
You don't. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Well, say that.
That's what I'm saying. I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's...
Same as you. I throw the ball to first base, then who gets it?
Naturally.
Who has it?
Naturally.
He better have it. Whoever it is drops the ball, so the guy runs to second. Who picks up the ball, throws it to what? What throws it? I don't know. Throws it back to tomorrow? Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to be caught. Why? I don't know. He's on third, and I don't give a darn.
What was that?
I said, I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
When someone with a secret microphone comes in contact with an unsuspecting individual with human reactions, the result is Candid Microphone, a Thursday night program that's rapidly capturing the interest of ABC listeners everywhere. Candid Microphone is a program that tests people's honest reactions in various situations, and what they say or do is secretly recorded by a man with a concealed mic. For instance, he may ask a strange girl in the park for a date, and when she answers him, she answers candidly, not knowing she's being recorded. Or the man with the mic may record the conversation of a man in a restaurant who suddenly finds he's left his wallet in the proverbial other suit and can't pay his check. But whatever is secretly recorded does not go on the air until the man with the mic has received the full permission of the person or persons recorded. Don't miss Candid Microphone tomorrow night over most of these same ABC stations. Phone tomorrow night over most of these same ABC stations.